Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 86 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou, and I apologize that I have a little case of sinus going on and don't sound my normal self. Been trying to get it cleared up, but to no avail so far.
Yeah.
It's been a week on the Cipro, no help. Although I did live in fear every day that I was taking it.
Yeah, why?
Well, it's got like its own Wikipedia page just for the side effects.
Really?
Yeah. One of which is spontaneous tendon rupturing.
Well.
Not good. Other people have talked about, you know, random, probably unimportant things like heart toxicity.
And you took this for a sinus infection. That didn't even go away.
That didn't even go away. I still have it.
Wow.
I would have been better with a 3-day Z-Pack, I think. Because that has side effects are like, you know, every once in a while somebody gets a tummy ache.
Yeah.
You know, that's a side effect I can live with.
Right.
Not spontaneous tendon rupturing and heart toxicity. For God's sake. I didn't have anthrax, okay? I didn't need the Cipro. And it didn't help. But anyway. Well, so welcome back. You've been away. You had a lovely vacation.
And an absolutely fantastic vacation.
In our ancestral shared home of Italia.
Yes.
And your first time there.
Yes.
And you absolutely loved it.
I did.
Yes.
It was even more amazing than I thought it would be.
Yeah. It's hard not to to fall in love with a place like that.
Right.
And it certainly makes it even that much more understandable when you watch House Hunters International, why people go there for vacation. And they're like, I want to live here.
Yeah. You know, I pretty much decided, because I spent the last part in Sicily, I pretty much decided that that's where I want to retire.
Your end of days will be spent in Sicily.
Right. And then my family will have come full circle, since I don't have any plans of continuing my family.
Okay.
So my family started in Cefalù, Sicily. My family will end in Cefalù, Sicily.
You know what? Plans change.
True.
You never know what may happen.
Hoboken. Could end my family in Hoboken.
You could. Could be in...
My apologies to those in Hoboken.
It could be Palatine, or as the AT&T person said on the phone yesterday, Palatine. Emperor Palatine. So anyway, do we have any mailbag that you want to go
we
over?
We do.
Okay.
Let me get it all together here.
By the way, how do you like the new iPad 2?
I like it. I don't know that I would have
bought it had you known how few differences there are.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I don't ever use the camera or the FaceTime. I probably never will.
You use it with my wife since I gave her one for her birthday.
Okay.
Which was a big surprise.
Yeah.
I packaged everything up in a shoebox from Lord & Taylor.
Yeah, you know, it was actually really hard not to give you crap for it on our last episode because you had not gotten it yet.
Right.
So I didn't want to ruin the surprise for her.
Right.
But I did want to give you crap for buying an Apple product.
Well, it was, as you know,
This is no mystery to anyone.
No. Wait, you don't know what I'm going to say.
Oh.
As you know, I do think that they make some really good products, but it's their arrogance and their, you know, smarminess in so many areas, one of which we'll talk about later in the podcast, that really bother me. It's their attitude more than anything else, and the way that they act like they're doing everyone a favor by bestowing this technology upon us, when it's like, yeah, but you're missing these like core important features. But no, so I wrapped it up in a shoebox from Lord & Taylor because my wife doesn't care about shoes at all.
Right.
And there probably isn't a single thing that Lord & Taylor
that
sells.
That explains the corns.
That was not supposed to come out in public. Sorry, honey. There isn't a single thing from Lord & Taylor probably. Nothing against Lord & Taylor, but just my wife, what she enjoys and stuff like that. Not a single thing that she would probably want as like a big gift for her birthday. So, you know, I put it in the shoebox. I wrapped it up. It's trying to be very tricky. And I should say that up to her birthday, every time she would bring up that she wanted an iPad, I'm like, you know what? I am not giving that company any more money. I hate them. I hate their stupid products. It's too expensive and you don't need it. And I would get mad. And
that's so she started to plot your son against you.
Yeah. I think it actually started way before that. But so she like stopped bringing it up because I would like fake get mad, you know, every time she brought it up. So she had no idea. So I wrapped it all up, and then she
we're no stranger to your rants. You don't have to explain it.
She takes the wrapping paper off, and she sees it's a box from Lord & Taylor. And I could see her expression kind of change to, oh, thanks, you know, like, oh, Lord & Taylor, great.
Right.
And then I said, you know, and these were kind of expensive, so this is actually a combination anniversary, birthday, and Mother's Day gift. And then she really was like, oh, thanks, because now it's like something she doesn't want, and she gets nothing else.
You've screwed three holidays
for
her, yeah.
Which were 3 days in a row, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, because her birthday was Friday, our anniversary. No, our anniversary was Friday. Her birthday was Saturday. Mother's Day was Sunday. So so she opens the box. She sees what it is, and she just lit up, and she was so excited. And she uses it all the time. My son uses it all the time.
There's so many great stuff for kids.
Really cool games on there for toddlers. Oh my gosh! And he just loves the thing. And you know, kids are amazing. I mean, he just looked at it. Obviously, it looks like an iPhone, but bigger.
Right.
But, you know, he said, "What's that?" And I said, that's you know, an iPad. I got it for mommy for her birthday. He said, I want to play games on mommy's iPad. It's like, I didn't explain what it was.
Right.
I just, you know. But he looked at it. He heard iPad. He figured it out. Kids are great.
I also wanted to tell you, I noticed... I was going through the App Store one day. I don't do that enough anymore. You know, the apps are so overwhelming that, like, I don't really go through it much anymore. But they have a couple cool, although you're done designing your house, but they have some cool, like, design apps.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, where you, you know.
Like architectural design?
Yeah.
Or interior design? That's pretty cool.
You should check those out.
I should check those out, because I like doing that just in general.
For fun.
Anyway, sure. Right.
You ready for some letters?
But yes, please.
Stritch says, well, he welcomes me back. Thank you, Stritch. He hopes it was a relaxing vacay. A couple of things from him. He knows never any quick comments. There's two shows we got to check out. And he left some links here. It's on the fan page to their IMDb pages. One is Sherlock, which I guess is an updated series on Sherlock Holmes. Are you familiar with this?
I have heard of Sherlock Holmes, yes.
Is this on... Okay, ass. I'm talking about this updated, like, youthful Sherlock Holmes series called Sherlock.
I just turned you up. I think you were really low, just so you know. I apologize for the lowness of Tony up to this point, ladies and gentlemen. I think I had heard of it once, but then I sort of forgot about it until he mentioned it the other day.
Yeah, apparently these are both on Netflix, and the other being a show called Luther with, what's his name? Idris Elba?
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was on The Office for a while.
Yeah, I like him.
I do like him,
except
too.
In that Beyonce movie.
Did not see that.
Nah.
No.
Obsessed, I think it was called.
Yeah, I did not see
it. I happened
any...
to catch it on cable. It's garbage.
The only movie I've ever seen with Beyonce was Austin Powers in Goldmember. Yeah.
You never saw Dreamgirls?
Was she in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't much care for it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was all right.
It was all right.
I thought it was surprisingly good. Anyway, Stritch, I will check those out. He also talks about some shows that have been canceled, but we're going to go over that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that stuff in the TV segment.
And he reminds you to get back to watching Doctor Who.
I'm still watching it. I have not stopped watching it, but we'll talk about that more too.
Jason wanted to know our thoughts on Michael Scott's last Office episodes and the episodes after Michael.
Unfortunately, I cannot even give you my thoughts on Michael Scott's last season because we have not seen
it. I will give you all of my thoughts on all of this when we get into TV. I have some thoughts.
Does not sound like it's going to bode well for our very own Michael Scott.
Yeah, and apparently Jason didn't like Will Ferrell on The Office.
That's what I saw.
And he's happy that Community and Parks and Rec are keeping Comedy Thursday alive. Are you still watching Community?
You know, I watch it every once in a while. I never watch it when it's actually on. You know, and excuse me, that brings up an interesting little point, which is that I know we're not talking TV right now, but I'll say this anyway. You know, Stargate Universe was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And it was canceled.
But we're going to continue to hear about it for the next
year. Well, what's really funny is if you go on Sci-Fi's Facebook page, anytime they post anything, all the comments are bring back SGU. Like, we're not watching Sci-Fi anymore until you bring back SGU. Which is not going to happen. The whole cast and crew have moved on to other projects now.
Right.
So, but what's interesting is that the whole TV rating system is still almost as archaic as it was, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. The problem is so many people watch stuff online now and DVR it, and they actually, in the ratings now, they didn't even used to count the DVR ratings at all. And now they count them for the next 7 days after something's aired. But not as much as they do the live ratings. And the problem is, because all this technology exists, people use it. So, like, if you don't have time to watch something on a on a Friday night or a Saturday night or whatever night, and you can watch it another night, you're going to do that if you have a DVR. But if it's not within that 7 day period, it doesn't count. So there was this, you know, big drop off in the ratings of SGU.
Well, they should be able to just tell if you've taped it and use that as the rating.
You know, I don't know how the technology works in terms of when, what gets triggered by what and how.
Right.
But the point is that now I can't totally say that it was all, you know, a ratings technology issue.
Right.
I do think that there's probably a greater likelihood that people who are into sci-fi are probably going to use technology more to watch TV than people who are not. I mean, I think just
than someone watching Diagnosis Murder.
Exactly. Right. That's my point. But at the same time, you know, you have to blame some of it on the show because the show was a huge departure in terms of tone from the first two Stargate series. And it took a long time to get up to the point where there was any action. I mean, it was a very, very slow paced show for the first at least half season. And then, you know, there's that mid-season break around the holidays. And then you come back, and I think the people who just weren't drawn in right away just gave up on it.
Right.
So the ratings went down, and then after that, sorry, my phone went off again. And then after that, you know, the numbers never went back up. And so after two seasons, they just decided to pull the plug. But it stinks because I'll bet you the ratings would actually be a lot higher if they counted whenever it was watched via DVR or download versus just live plus seven.
Right.
But whatever. I mean, on the other hand, if everything is calculated that way, then everything's at least on the same playing field. But that means that people who don't have DVRs, their ratings are going to count higher than people who do and who use them whenever.
And those are the people watching Two and a Half Men.
Exactly.
Right.
The number one comedy on television.
Right. Now starring Ashton Kutcher.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, that's what it is, because that show is the demographic for that show is my mother.
And Ralph Cramden. Were he yes. not A, dead, B, fictitious.
Right.
C, unavailable.
You ready to move on to video games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry, I was drinking at the time. I couldn't open my mouth.
Wow. Well, you and I have, since we have met last, you and I have both finished the single-player campaign in Portal 2.
Yes, phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Okay,
In fact, right when it was done, I'm like, I want to go back and play it again.
Okay, so I couldn't talk about it much before
no
because
spoilers.
You were behind where I was. I can't say anything?
Well, we can't spoil it for the listeners.
Okay, let's just put it this way.
Speak ambiguously.
Ambiguously?
Yeah, that okay. came out right.
I will do that momentaneously. what I was going to say is all of the parts where you heard J.K. Simmons' voice,
mm-hmm.
didn't you absolutely love that whole part of the game?
Yeah.
I thought that was like so cool that you got to see all that stuff.
Right.
And Tony's not going to let me say anything specific, but... And the story that was revealed through the things that he was saying.
Right.
Was just like so cool. It was so cool.
Yeah. I also love how, I mean, the game is actually like, it's got like four different settings. So
yeah.
It really feels like four, not different games because the mechanics are the same, but like there's nothing repetitive, even though you're doing
right.
basically the same
right.
thing. There's nothing repetitive about it.
And the scale of the world
right.
in which Portal 2 takes place is just so massive, like so unimaginably massive
right.
in a sense that like you, when you're in it, especially in that part, it's like, this is going to go on forever, isn't it? There's
right.
no end to it. Like, where are we? Where are we that this is all possible?
You know what I love is, I don't think I'm really ruining anything here, so I'll say what I'm going to say. I love at the end when you realize you're at the end and you realize, uh-oh, I'm going to have to do exactly what I had to do in the last game.
Yeah.
And then he says to you, you think I didn't learn from last time?
Right.
And then it's different
and
than
then
the
it's
last
different.
Time. Yeah.
And again, without saying anything, the thing that you have to do to actually defeat him at the end was so hilariously
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, but so cool. So cool.
Yeah, and there is new DLC coming out for that, I believe, in June.
Paid or free?
Free. The first one's free.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that'll be more single-player levels or if it'll be, you know,
yeah,
multiplayer. You and I have to get back and finish our multiplayer.
Yeah, game. Yeah. I would definitely like to do that because there seem like some really clever things
And now
in
the
there.
PSN is back up. Although I have to say I just read right now.
They took it back down?
Breaking news that, well, you know, when it came back up, they made everyone change their password.
Right.
But now they're saying that that's been breached. The new passwords have been breached.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Sony.
Ugh.
Feel so sorry.
Poor people. Poor Tony.
So sorry for them and all their billions of dollars.
We'll talk more about that later because I have that in the miscellaneous.
So I really loved a lot of the new game mechanics too.
Yeah.
There were some things that there was one level in particular that I felt like the developers were mocking me as a player, mocking all of us as players, because, you know, there are only certain surfaces on which you can create a portal, right? And so in this one level that I'm thinking of, and I don't remember what level it was.
I bet I know what level you're talking about.
Okay, I'll tell you what it was. You're in an area that there's like a broken window that leads into a little area, and then there's another little area you can go into. And then way far off in the distance, not connected to where you are physically, there's another area, and you eventually have to get out the exit, which is in that far away area. And in the area you're in, there's like this little platform with a cube on it that you have to get. And when you first get in there, you're like, okay, I have no idea how I'm going to get that cube to use it to do all the stuff I need to do. And there were a lot of portable surfaces on the walls high up in there.
Uh-huh.
And I was convinced for the longest time that I had to do some crazy gymnastics where, you know, you like fall off a high thing and create a portal on the floor and then fall through that. And while you're falling, shoot another portal on a high space to get flung out of that, to get onto the ledge, to get the box. And the solution turned out to be much simpler than that. But I really felt like they
were talk more specifically when we're off there, because I don't know exactly which level you're talking about.
But man, that level messed with me for a long time. And there are literally some levels when I got in there and I'm like, I have nothing to work with.
Right.
At first glance, it's like, I have no idea how to do this. But some of the new game mechanics were just so much fun.
Yeah, it was the perfect blend of it wasn't so impossible, although I did have to cheat once. I cheated once.
I was very proud of myself that I didn't cheat at all.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, I was very proud of myself. There was one time when I almost did, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try this first, and then I did that. And once I did that thing, I was able to see something that I didn't see before, and then I figured out how I needed to get there.
Yeah, but that's the key to that game. The two tips I would give for anyone stuck in that game: start with your exit.
Yep.
Start with your exit and work backwards.
And backtrack.
And look at every possible.
Look at everything.
Yeah.
Like, even if you think.
Use your zoom function.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this right now. If there's an area that you can get to by jumping off a high place and falling and portaling into the ground so that you fly up into the air, even if it doesn't look like that's going to do you any good, do
Try it.
It
yeah.
Because there are at least two or three places where that's how you get to the next area. And the other thing is that I don't think I'm really giving anything away here, but the first area where you really have to use the white gel, I didn't even know what it did at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did he say at some point?
No, but I mean.
Yeah. But
when
but,
it lands on the ground, it's pretty easy to see what it does.
Right. Well, if you think to try that, if you don't think to try it, because if you think about how the other two gels are used, they have a much different purpose.
Right.
But anyway, the point is that first level where you have to use that was so cool.
Yeah.
And just figuring out like how to manipulate things to get things to do what you need to do was just ridiculously cool.
Yeah, the design on this game is genius.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Let's move on.
Okay, so
I have started playing L.A. Noire,
a game which you were looking very, very forward to,
and I've played a couple hours.
Okay,
and I don't know yet how I feel. And let me tell you the reason why. First of all, I'm going to say the character animation, the whole game is what's it called? Motion capture.
Okay,
so the like expressions and the dialogue and all that is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, like nothing I've ever seen in a game before. And this is all in game, like,
right?
You know, character reactions. It's really, when you're watching it, it's more like watching a movie than any other game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose of the game, you know, at first I thought it was going to be, because it's made by Rockstar, it was going to be like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption, where it's open world, you choose your missions and how you want to do it in that world.
In the
early 1900s in LA.
Okay.
And it's not really. It's more you're given cases and you keep solving these cases by gathering information, almost like an adventure game. You know, like an adventure game or an RPG, I'm sorry, where you go and you talk to people and then you collect things and you go back and you bring right. things. Well, here are the things you're collecting are evidence. So you okay. have to look at clues and you have a little notebook and you automatically like take the notes of the clues and right. everything. You don't have right. to do anything in that sense. And then you have to keep referring to it. The part I'm having an issue with is then when you talk to people, because you're supposed to interview people, witnesses and that, is that there's this whole thing where you have to figure out if they're lying or not lying okay. or if you have any doubts. And it's too right and wrong. Like yeah. if you talk to someone and you think they're lying and they're not, then all of a sudden that person won't talk to you anymore and then you have to walk away. I mean, you could go back. You can't go back and try it again if it won't let you.
Right.
So then you kind of have to like do it a different way, where I think it should be a little more flexible.
Yeah.
But that's just 2 hours into the game. I don't right. know. Because so far, even where I'm at now, I can see it's still getting me used to doing things I have to do, because it's not like any other game I've played before.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I guess I'm getting used to it. I'm starting to see like little telltale, because, you know, there's ways to see if people are lying. One, you go by their like, you know, body language and their eye contact and that. But also you have to, like, when you're talking to them, you can refer back to your notebook and look at your clues.
To see if what they're saying contradicts something right. that you already know to be a fact.
Right. Yeah. So you really have to be keen when
That's pretty cool, though, because yeah. that part of it is actually, you know, I think the trouble that a lot of games suffer from that are, you know, mystery type of games is that there's not really that element there where it's you deducing something.
Right.
It's have you follow the path and then the character automatically does this, 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 or this because you went along the path. But if you have to be responsible for figuring out what's what, I think that's really cool.
Right.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, so far it's cool. I mean, for me, there hasn't been enough action yet. It's too much, like, looking for stuff. But like,
no,
I said,
you don't like dialogue in games. Too much dialogue.
But no, in this game I do. Okay. Because it's done so well.
Well, I mean, like in Mass really Effect 2, where it's like, it's not really intrusive so much as it is part of the whole thing.
Right. This is so cinematic, though. I mean, yeah. they really make it so it's not, you're not bored by it. There's no reading other than looking at your notebook.
Right.
And
well, what happens if you, like, let's say you're in the middle of a conversation with somebody and your phone rings or your doorbell rings?
You can pause it.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Is there a way to get, like, captions to come up, though, if you miss something?
Actually, when you go into the pause menu, there's one of your options is log, and it shows you the transcript of everything that's been said.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then so you can even go back and look at that.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's little side missions in that. And the world is just so cool. The attention to detail in, I don't know if it's supposed to be in the 40s. I think it's supposed to be in the, yeah, it is supposed to be in the 40s. But the attention to detail, LA in the 40s is just unbelievable. And apparently where they got a lot of this was from, like where they got all the detail and it's very accurate, is from some like stunt person back in that time.
Really?
Used to photograph LA hanging from a biplane. And they used all that stuff that he
That's
had.
So cool.
I know. I just read this yesterday. He'd used all that stuff to recreate this game.
Wow, that's really neat.
So once I get further into it, I mean, now the cases are getting a little more exciting, you know, yeah, because, right. like I said, it's been training up until now.
Yeah.
And actually, you move up. Like, at first, you're just like a beat cop. Now I'm working, like, traffic patrol, and then it moves up to, like, you know,
Secret
homicide.
Service.
And, like, oh. well, yeah, you keep moving up.
Yeah.
So obviously, the cases are going to get more exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, so far, I like it. I even played a little this morning, so I mean, it's yeah. kept me.
Yeah. I might check it out because, you know, it looks cool.
Yeah. And it's something
It
different.
Reminds me of the old adventure games, which I kind of like. And I yeah. like that, you know, element that you have to figure stuff out, which is pretty cool, rather than it just
What's
being...
What's neat is if you go on IMDb and look at all the actors who have done it, like, there's such attention to exactness here that, like, all the characters look like the actors.
Right.
So it's right. not like they just use them for their motion. I mean, they really get it down to, like, an eyebrow raise or
yeah.
a twitch or, like...
That's pretty cool.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That's really cool.
But, yeah.
So you're done talking about that,
I'm done
I guess.
Talking about that. And that is all I have to say about that.
Well, I figured I should play a couple of games on the iPad, too, since we have one in the house now. And so there were two games. There was one that I was looking forward to that I got, and I think you also have it.
I have it, but I haven't really played it.
It's called Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, and it's kind of interesting because it's got this very old style 8-bit look to it, with some kind of funky ethereal music. But it's more like an old style adventure game. But I have to say, the little bit of it that I've played so far, I wasn't really crazy about it. I loved it visually, and I loved the sound and the music, but I thought the gameplay, like the actual mechanics of it, were kind of weird. Like, you know, you tap on somebody or double tap somebody to talk to them, and then some little text comes up and you see what they have to say or whatever. Like, there's this one guy that was chopping wood, and, you know, they try to be funny and stuff. It's like this: you see a man chopping wood, you find out that locally he is known as Wood Chopper. You know, so stuff like that.
So that's the humor of the game.
Kind of, yeah. And then he gets mad at you for something and says, but follow me up the hill. So you follow him up this hill, and you get to this place. And eventually you get to a place where there's like a wild boar or some kind of animal that you have to kill. So you go near the animal, and then the game shifts into like combat mode, where you are forced to... Now, let me say this too. At any point while you're playing, you can pinch to zoom in and out. Uh-huh. So that you can see more or less of what's going on around you.
Right.
So you get to this boar and you're forced into this mode where you have to turn the screen to be portrait oriented. And then they show like a sword and a shield or something like that. And so you have to tap by either the sword or the shield to either attack or block attacks.
Right.
And then there are these meters up at the top for short sword and shield, I think. I don't know. That I don't know what they mean. I thought they were maybe damage meters against the thing I was fighting, but I just kept hitting the sword, and eventually the thing ran away. So I didn't really know what was going on. And then I was like walking screen after screen after screen after screen following this guy, the woodchopper guy or whatever, and like nothing happened. And then I get to this part where I have to like figure out how to cross this chasm, and I do that. But it's like I didn't understand the combat system at all, and there was no like tutorial or anything like that right. that was part of the game.
Right.
There probably was one if you went into help or whatever. But like... if you can zoom in and out, why would you force people to turn the tablet into that orientation?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense. You just zoom out so that they can see more.
Right.
I don't know. It was kind of weird.
You're not really selling this game for me.
No, I was disappointed. But see what you think. And then the other one that I played was called Osmos HD, which is where you're this like blob of energy kind of thing, and you have to absorb these other blobs of energy, but you can only absorb ones that are smaller than you. And then they add...
You pretty much just describe my life, thank you.
Wow. You might want to talk to somebody about that because that sounds like you may need some professional help. But I found it to be really hypnotically interesting. It's hard. It's not an easy game. Like, it gets hard pretty quick.
Yeah, I didn't like... I actually tried that. I didn't like the movement of it. It was too... I was too frenetic with it, I think.
Well, there's a note right at the beginning that says, relax.
Yeah, but I don't pay attention to that.
Okay, well.
But they can't tell me what to do, first
no,
of all.
No, I know that. But they what's interesting is to move your
blob
sphere of energy around, you don't like touch where you want to go. You touch behind the right. opposite direction that you want it to go.
Right.
So like if you touch...
Like you're giving it a little nudge.
Right, if you touch it to the left, it'll move to the right.
Right.
So,
because you're nudging it.
And it expels a little bit of energy, so it gets a
like
little
a
bit
poot.
Smaller.
It expels a poot.
That is a horrible thing to say on a family podcast. So it expels
hey,
a little.
Everybody poots.
Everybody. Oh, trust me, we have all those books. It expels a little energy, so it gets a little bit smaller every time you do that. So if you're being frenetic, you're going to get really tiny, and then you won't be able to absorb any big blobs. And that's probably your problem, again, in life.
In life, right.
Right.
So all right,
good luck
ready,
with that.
You ready for some miscellaneous?
Yes, please.
After a 25-day outage of the PlayStation Network, and hopefully not anymore after the news I just gave earlier,
yeah.
Sony is rewarding all of its users with a free month of the PlayStation Plus service and two free games from the following five: Little Big Planet, Infamous, Super Stardust HD, Dead Nation, and Wipeout HD.
Wow, that's generous.
It actually is. I mean, because those are great games. Although
yeah, I mean, the free month is not really generous because it was down for a month, so here's your month back.
No, they are counting the time that it was down as a
stop.
As, yeah, that okay. you were frozen at that moment.
Oh, okay.
So it's, and actually, I think for PlayStation Plus, people who already have PlayStation Plus, I think they actually get 2 months.
So it is actually free stuff.
It is.
And free then stuff. A free game, that's really cool.
Two free games.
Wow.
You choose two of those.
Is this
five.
Retroactive? So if I buy a PS3 now, I also get this?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. There also are, because PlayStation Network is part of the PSP as well, if you have a PSP. The games they offer are different. I don't have those just because I don't know anyone who owns a PSP.
I actually know one person who owns one.
Who uses it?
Yeah, but he's, you know, 11.
Okay. Fair enough. So. Speaking of the PSP, the Xperia Play, Sony's PlayStation phone, will see its U.S. release next week for $199 exclusively through Verizon.
Wow, that seems strange.
Why?
I don't know.
It's the dollar strange. What's strange about
I just don't understand why they would want to limit it to just one network.
I don't know. Maybe it's a deal they made, like iPhone.
Well, I understand that, but I don't know.
I don't know. Valve has released an interactive app for the iPad that documents the making of Portal 2, including concept art, developer interviews, videos, and plenty of material that was cut from the final version of the game.
That's pretty cool.
I have not downloaded that yet.
Is it free?
So I believe it's $2.
$2. I don't know, man. That's $2.
$2.
That's $2.
It's only $2.
Never going to get that back.
But I will check that out and I will report it because I just saw this right before I came here. So
I hear you.
I have not checked it out. In more Valve news, the company has stated that they will begin developing games for Facebook and mobile devices.
How about if they begin developing games that start with the words Half-Life? That's what I would that's what I would like to see.
That reminds me, I need to send you a link. I saw this morning someone had made a map of the whole Half-Life 2 world.
No. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I have to I'll find it.
That's really
I'll email it to you.
What'd they do? Just like zoom out and put the camera above them and well, you can't really do that because it's first person.
Right. I don't know. We'll look at it during the break.
Okay.
One of the biggest names in gaming, Ubisoft, will now make movies through its new motion picture division. First on their list of projects are big screen versions of their games Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell, and Ghost Recon.
Well, I can't speak to Splinter Cell or Ghost Recon, but if Assassin's Creed the movie is anything like the game, that would be the most boring movie ever.
You know, actually, when I went to buy L.A. Noire yesterday, the guy asked me if I wanted to pre-order the next Assassin's Creed, and I'm like, you know what, I just played the first one and it was blah.
It was so boring.
And he's like, oh, you gotta go. And I actually played a little of two and I didn't hate it, but then other things came out, so I got it got lost in the shuffle.
The first
but
one was
I think
so
I
boring.
Might go back to two, because he was saying, he's like, I agree about one, he's like, but two was one of my favorite games and they just keep getting better after it.
Because the first one, I mean, first of all, it looked stunning, it was gorgeous, but you had to do the same thing over and over again. It
he
was
said,
so boring.
He said that wasn't the issue with 2 and above.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
I don't know how we would know about above because 3 isn't out yet, is it?
3 is out.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
This would be 4. The new one, the next one would be 4.
Oh.
Actually, it's featured on the cover of Game Informer right
now. Which I stopped getting.
Yeah.
It just stopped showing up.
Well, you have to renew it through GameStop.
Oh. I didn't do that, I guess.
Yeah. Lastly, it has been revealed that Mass
This is
Effect-
not lastly. This is next to lastly. I've got something. I've got I got to write in.
We have a little surprise.
I got to write in.
It has been revealed that Mass Effect 3 will allow players to pursue same-sex relationships with other characters.
What about other people in real life?
It's your choice.
All right. So
no, it's not a choice.
Okay. I don't know what that means. All right. So I want you to check something out real quick. Okay.
On the old iPad.
Don't know if that'll work on there because I think it's flash video, but hang on just a second here. I want to show you something, which is the video that I posted on pause.com of from Guild Wars 2. One of the it's just like a fly through of one of the cities, but it's all, you know, actual game footage or, you know, game engine stuff rather than pre-rendered stuff. Can you believe how much detail they've worked in?
Yeah,
it's amazing. Cool. It's absolutely amazing. I cannot wait for that game. But anyway, go to pause.com if you want to check it out because I posted it on there. So is that it for video games?
That's it.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about television.
Wait, I want to mention the name of that app by Valve.
Okay.
It's called The Final Hours of Portal 2.
Okay.
Downloading it.
Consider
it
mentioned.
But I will not play with
and
it.
And how much is it?
$1.99 Yes.
$1.99
Yep.
Do you think it should be free if you already own the game? I think it should be free if you own the game.
Then
if you don't own the game and you want to see it, then you could pay the $2.
That reminds me, let's check when we're done here. Let's check. I guess we could have had this conversation off tape, but let's check.
Yes, we are taping the show.
I knew you were
going to
rip on that.
Got the old 8-track running in record
mode. I want to check my Steam synchronization since PSN has come back up and see if...
see if your stuff is there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
But let's talk about TV.
Let's. We've both been watching American Idol.
Uh-huh.
Down to the final three. James, in a surprising twist of events,
cut.
Yes, you will disagree with me, but Scotty definitely should have gone.
Why would you say that I would disagree? I think
I know you don't like Haley, so...
Well, I...
Here's what I'll say about Haley. I understand the reason why people don't like her, but in her best moments, I think she's the most talented person there.
I completely disagree with that statement. I think Lauren, by far, in her best moments, is the most talented person
there. I disagree with that.
I know you do, because you just said so a minute ago. Yes. But I'm saying, I think Lauren should win the whole thing.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. And I just think
Haley's best moments have been the best moments of any contestant this season.
Yeah, I don't agree, only because Lauren's performance of Candle in the Wind, I think, was so incredibly moving. That was like probably one of the best Idol performances I've ever seen.
I don't think that beat Haley's performance last week of I Who Have Nothing.
I don't know the name of that song, so I don't remember which performance that was.
It was the really good one.
That does not help. But, you know, I don't have a problem with Haley. Amy hates her. She doesn't like her at all.
No.
Because she thinks she's...
Let's just say that when they had the homecoming edition, it was filmed just blocks from your house.
Yeah, 4 minutes away from our house. That's pretty interesting.
But you were too busy to go.
Yeah, sorry I was moving. Sorry that had to trump Haley showing up at an AT&T store down the street. But anyway... so yeah, I was surprised that James was cut. I don't know that I would disagree with you that Scotty should have gone. I think
I don't understand. I don't know. To this day, every time he sings, they give him so much praise, and it's just, for me, it's the same thing we see all the
time. You're not a country fan either, though.
I'm not either.
But
I mean, even I can still recognize talent. I mean, singing talent, and I just don't think. I think there's one thing he does well, and he's excellent at it. But that's kind of what
a lot of country is about.
I don't feel that way about Lauren.
No. But she's definitely more crossover. I mean, she can, she's like Carrie in that sense, where she could definitely cross over a lot more.
You're right.
And, you know, Amy likes country a lot. She loves Scotty.
Really?
Yeah, she loves him. Loves him. Thinks he's incredible.
I didn't know she liked country.
Oh, yeah, she loves country music.
It's so weird. I never would have imagined that.
Her favorite two genres of music are country and, like, dance music.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? But, yeah, she loves him. She does not like Haley.
So she likes a mean boot scoop boogie.
Well, you'll have to ask her about that, because I didn't even know you could put those words together and have an actual meaning. But, yeah, I want Lauren to win. I think.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. And I think she will.
Yeah, I hope so.
I can't see Scotty winning.
I hope so. Haley could win, though, like we were saying before.
I wouldn't be disappointed with that, but I'll be really, if Scotty wins, I'm out.
Actually, I think Scott is probably more deserving to win than Haley. I know you don't
disagree
with that.
Yeah, I disagree.
But I just, because Haley's had some kind of moments. Whereas I think if you like country music, I think it would be harder to say that about Scott. Although there are a few performances of his that I was cringing during.
Oh my God, his facial reactions and his cheekiness. Oh. Yeah,
I don't like that at all.
Okay, at what point do you turn the ringer off your phone?
I don't know. I have to see who this is. Hold on. It was Lowe's again. They keep bugging me about something I never bought from them. Anyway, sorry for that, people. So I don't know.
They didn't have to wait.
Both Haley and Scotty have had a lot of cringeworthy performances, whereas I never felt that Lauren performed really badly. I didn't. There were a tiny number of songs that she picked that I'm like, well, that was a bad choice.
Right.
But I always think she performed pretty well.
I will say, as far as being the whole package, it's Lauren.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, like Jordan Sparks, she's only a kid. So it's kind of sweeter that way.
Speaking of, did you see her?
Who?
Jordan Sparks when she performed last week?
No.
Oh my God.
What?
She's like really thin now and she's like sexed it up and she's like, there was even
a picture.
Oh,
maybe I did see that.
There was even a picture of her on Entertainment Tonight. They showed her like in a bikini. Like she's completely like, she's got this new rockin' bod and.
Well, she wasn't like heavy though, right? She was just kind of.
She was heavy.
She was?
Yeah. Oh. When she was first on, she was heavy. Then she kind of lost a little, but now she's like, you know.
Hottie Patati.
Beyonce.
Yeah. You know, the only movie I've ever seen with Beyonce was Austin Powers and Goldmember. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Anyway.
Okay, let's move on to the, I think, more entertaining singing competition show.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. You know why? I first of all, let me say that
we're going to disagree a lot here.
I agree that Tony's talking about the
Voice.
I do agree.
The surprise hit of the summer.
Okay, whatever. It's not summer yet. I do agree that the concept of The Voice, especially the blind auditions, I really like that.
Uh-huh.
But there are a few things that are kind of weird. First of all, they, right from the beginning, they talk about how it's not just the singers who are competing, but the judges, right?
Right.
What are they competing for?
Well, because they are the mentor to...
Yeah, but what do they get?
Well, they helped someone... you know, achieve greatness.
Right, but they kept talking about how it's not just the singers, but the judges who are competing. So that was kind of weird because they never really explained what they're competing for.
I just explained it to you.
But that's not a good explanation. I don't like that explanation. Well, second of all...
Then you won't like their explanation either.
Second of all, they invited all those people to come sing. So why did they...
What do you mean they invited them?
It wasn't open auditions. They
it was narrowed down. They weren't invited.
They were invited. They even showed video clips of people receiving the invitations.
That was after the open auditions.
Right, but what I'm saying is some of the people they invited to come sing were no good. So why would you invite somebody?
Well, wait. First of all, there was no one that was no good, and that was one thing I liked about the show. There was no one that was terrible.
Well, first of all...
There were people that weren't as good as the others.
There were a couple people who were not good, like not good, and we didn't see everybody sing because now that they're doing this next round, we're seeing some people who we've never seen before.
That's not true. You've seen everyone.
No, that's not true.
Then you haven't seen every episode.
Yes, we have. There's only been four. There are two blind audition episodes and so far two battle round episodes. In the first blind audition episode, there was a segment where they said, and he padded out his team with this person, this person, this person, this person, this person.
Oh.
But we never saw them perform before. So anyway, so they do the blind auditions. Each judge now has eight people on their team.
Right.
Right. And so now they do the battle round where each judge picks two people from their team, and those two people sing
the same song.
The same song or parts of the same song.
At the same time.
At the same time in a boxing arena.
Right.
For some reason.
And, you know what I like about that is you really have to be, the judges had to be strategic in who they put next to each other because I think CeeLo made a big mistake
twice
last week by putting his two best people against each other because you lose one.
Right. And somebody made a comment about that.
Right.
About how he's going to look back on his life and regret this moment.
Right.
So they battle it out and then the judge picks, that mentor picks the person who did better and that person stays and the other person is gone. Just gone. But on those shows, those two battle round shows so far, there is, out of the hour-long episode, there's maybe 10 minutes that needs to be watched. And the rest is just complete garbage.
I'm not going to disagree with
you. Complete garbage.
I'm not going to disagree.
10 minutes out of an hour.
I'm not going to disagree with you
Oh,
there.
My God. It was so frustrating. So after the first one, we're like, okay, why did we just watch that? And then we skipped to the rest of it and just got to the
scene. I have to say, I mean, one of the charms of that show, I really like the chemistry between the four judges. And what I love is how... during the blind auditions, when CeeLo would see that it was an attractive girl, he would bring the creepy on, like, you know,
hello,
seen
pretty
before.
Lady.
And why did you come over here? And he'd even, like, he'd press his button for some of these girls. And you know the girls that, like, chose someone else other than him didn't pick him because he was so creepy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he actually seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But it's weird to watch him because I think his arms only have one segment and they, like, come out of the side of his body and he's just, like... what's going on? But he seemed, and he's got like the baleen whale teeth, and I don't know what happened there, but he actually seems like a decent guy. I think that so far the mentors have made two big mistakes in terms of who they kept.
I believe that Blake Shelton made a mistake with who he kept.
He should have kept the guy with the bow tie.
Right.
Absolutely, unquestionably. Right. I cannot believe he picked the other kid. The other kid had no charisma on stage at all.
Absolutely.
And then there was another one the next episode where I felt somebody...
I didn't see it yet. Don't tell me.
Okay. And then the other thing that's a little strange is... well, I'm not going to tell you who won, but remember the duo, Ellen Owen?
Yeah.
The guy and the girl? Okay, so they went up against... remember the dude who like used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict?
Yeah.
And okay, so whoever's team they're on... yeah. Whoever's team they're on put... them together. So Ellen Owen versus that dude.
Which is so weird because one is really soft folky and the other is a screaming rocker.
Right. So that was the first strange thing. The second strange thing was the rocker had 80% of the song and they basically were like backup singers. It was like, why would you do that?
Right.
Because this is not at all a fair comparison of talent. So it was.
You know, another one I disagreed with. The couple that sang "Leather and Lace" by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley. I thought they should have kept the guy and not the girl. She was really young, kind of folky. She sounded like Stevie Nicks when she sang that song, but judging by her past, I thought the guy was much better. Remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but he kept the girl.
He kept the girl.
I think that was the right decision. She was great in that song.
In that song.
Yeah.
But all her other performances, I didn't think were good at all. In fact, she wasn't even a first choice. She was one of those they brought back.
Right.
She was one of the barrel of losers.
Also Rans. Barrel of losers.
All right. Well, we'll keep up with that. I'm enjoying it. I am now looking forward to when, you know, the audience decides.
Now, are you going to watch X Factor?
I'll give it a try.
You know, we're supposed to go to a taping of that. We're not going to go. Yeah. Kind of disappointed, but...
I told you that.
But our own Kelsey is going to go.
Really?
She's going, when are you going, Friday night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night?
Wow.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know how it is. And she's all stressed out about her wardrobe. She said she's going to go shopping to buy a new outfit.
Wear white.
Because the tickets, you know, like tell you about what you're allowed and not allowed to wear. Should we read it?
Well, I'm sure you can't wear white.
Here's what it says. Dress code is strictly enforced for our internet ticket holders. Hip upscale attire is mandatory. Colorful spring colors are requested. Absolutely no apparel with logos of any kind on the front or back are allowed in the studio audience. Absolutely no t-shirts, sweatshirts, white tops, shorts, or flip-flops. We'd prefer you don't wear jeans.
What if they're your hip dressy flip-flops?
Absolutely not. Please dress hip and upscale as if going to a nice club or restaurant. You will be on camera, so it is very important that you dress nicely.
Will there be drinks and food?
When you look great, the show looks great.
Meanwhile, Simon Cowell is going to be in an ill-fitting black t-shirt.
Yes. Ill-fitting is being generous. But, yeah, we'll probably watch it, especially since Paul is on it.
Right.
You know, last minute, 11th hour.
Did you hear that Jennifer Lopez has already decided, because she only signed a contract for 1 year, Vital. She's already decided that she is coming out with her own singing show.
What?
Yeah. But it will only deal, no, she's not ripping off Vital. It will only deal with Latin music.
Really?
But, I mean, she's really what I think one of the main things that made Idol great this year.
I would have to agree with that.
So
I would have to agree with that.
To replace her
is which is really
hard.
Funny because, like, you know, I think they have each served a very valuable purpose this season. Randy and Seacrest, of course, have tied the old audience to the new audience.
Uh-huh.
Steven Tyler, I thought, was instrumental in making the audition episodes really fun.
Yeah, not so great on the competition shows.
And then J-Lo during the competition has given the best advice of any judge ever on the show, I think. So it's really interesting. I think it was and it may be accidental. I don't know. But
maybe they'll up the ante and try to keep her.
Yeah, they should try to keep her. Yeah. But she could do both, couldn't she? Why couldn't she do both?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't
want. Is her show going to be called the J-Lowdown? Because that would be a good title.
Okay, let's move on to The Office quickly.
Let's,
I won't
since
ruin
I haven't
anything
because,
I mean, I'm not really ruining anything. You know Michael left.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought in Will Ferrell as his replacement.
Temporarily, though, right?
Yes, yeah. He's already off.
Okay.
He was only on like 3 episodes. Let me say that, remember when I said, well, I could see them like after Michael leaves, bring someone else in. And they haven't brought someone else in yet. So,
but they've announced the who it is, right?
No.
I think that's incorrect.
They have not.
I'm sure I just read something.
There's many
about
people that are like taking an episode and acting as the boss, but they have not filled his.
I swear place. I just read something yesterday about who's taken his place.
Well, we'll have to look that up.
Okay,
but
anyway.
But the show is not the same without him.
Really?
And there'd only been 2 episodes without him, but it's really, there's really something missing. And I will agree with, was it Jason or Stritch?
I think it was Jason.
I think it was Jason. Will Ferrell was terrible on there.
Really?
Not funny at all.
Really?
Not at all.
Oh, you think that's his fault
his
or the writer's fault?
Well, hit the writers.
Yeah.
No, Will Ferrell can be funny.
Yeah.
His character was completely unlikable, first of all.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't funny. He just was a jerk.
Yeah.
But I will say the last episode where Dwight was in charge, One of the funniest episodes in ages.
Really?
Oh, my God. So funny.
Because there are a lot of good moments with Pam and Jim in that episode, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because of their little...
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So if you're going to watch an episode, I mean, because you don't have to see them in order, watch that.
Yeah, we'll probably go back and watch the whole season at some point.
But I mean, like the show. Pick that one out and watch it.
Yeah, well, we'll probably watch the whole season, is what I'm saying.
So you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do.
Okay, come on. When was the last time you watched an episode of Fringe?
It's been a while.
Okay,
but I did watch an episode of Fringe.
Down.
I watched 3 episodes of Fringe.
Yeah, but I didn't tell you what order to watch them in. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's talk about Parks and Recreation, which behind Modern Family is right now the funniest show on TV.
Really?
So
yeah,
good.
But you know, can you even say that? Because you don't watch Community, which is often hilarious.
I've seen like 4 episodes, not funny.
What, the first 4?
No, I've seen a recent. I saw the Pulp Fiction episode. Wasn't that funny?
I didn't see that, but it doesn't sound like it would be funny.
I saw another recent one, too.
And that show Breaking In that has been canceled, really funny.
It's not on TV.
What?
That's not on TV anymore.
Well, it's still, is it like off
the
air now?
It wasn't so funny that it stayed on.
Wow. Took you a while to get that out, didn't it?
I think people will agree with me. Parks and Recreation has found its groove.
Yeah.
And it's grooving hard.
Wow. Wow.
And Rob Lowe is great on that show. You know what?
I didn't even know he was on that show.
Oh, he's hysterical on that show. And let me just say something about Rob Lowe, and I'm a little embarrassed to share this with you, but, you know, before I went on vacation, I loaded a couple books on my iPad, and while I was doing this, Rob Lowe was on Oprah talking about his new book, and he was actually very entertaining.
Wait a minute, is Rob Lowe gay? Because it seems to me the only men who are ever on Oprah are secretly gay in real life.
I don't know.
John Travolta, Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe.
I think there have been other men on Oprah.
Name one. See, you can't even
do
it.
Watch Oprah.
You cannot even do it.
I just happened to see Rob Lowe on Oprah.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
And he was talking about his book, and it's just a collection of stories from his life, done in chronological order.
Right.
And the stories that he told on Oprah, I'm like, those were really entertaining. So I downloaded the book, read the entire book on vacation, and I loved it.
Really?
Oh, my God. Some of the best stories. And some of them are like just fun Hollywood stories, like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He never trash talks anyone.
Yeah.
He seems like a really, really nice guy.
I will say that I've seen him in a few things over the years, and I would have to agree with that he does seem like a decent guy.
And doesn't trash, I mean, believe me, there's a lot of people in his book that he could have trash talked.
Yeah.
And no one.
By
the end, it's very inspirational.
Wait, you reminded me of something that I was going to ask you about. I don't know.
Rob Lowe.
And you know, the thing is too, is that you would almost expect that he would do a little trash talking because he has been the butt of so many jokes over the years.
Right.
Because he was not initially
but
regarded.
You know what? He doesn't regret anything. He feels all those things made him who he is today. That whole teen sex scandal.
Yeah.
He says if it weren't for that, he wouldn't be the person he is today.
I don't think I even know what that is.
Remember he was videotaped having sex with two girls
and then it turned out
like one of them was underage.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he talk about last night?
Yeah. Oh no, he talks about like all the major things in his life. But I mean, it's really funny, and then there's some touching moments in it. And there's some. Let me share one little story. So you know, when he used to make West Wing, he used to fly to and from L.A. to D.C.
Okay.
And there was one flight. It was like the last flight he had taken. It was 5 days before 9/11, and he was on this flight from D.C. to L.A. Anyway, they had 9/11 happened, and then they called him like shortly after to say that he had to come testify about that last flight he had taken. I believe from DC to LA. I don't think it was the other way around. They needed him to testify about what he saw on that flight because that flight he was on was the dry run.
Really?
Yeah. So all the terrorists that were involved in one of the planes, probably the one that went into the Pentagon.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly.
Dude, you got to watch Loose Change.
I'm not watching that.
You got to watch Loose Change. It's crazy.
You're crazy.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. Do you know that at least half of the terrorists that supposedly were on those planes are still alive?
Yeah. Whatever. I'm not getting into any of that conversation. What I'm saying is that he was on their dry run for the Pentagon thing.
And he was involved?
No. I mean, he didn't know until after
it
was all done.
What was his test? God, what
I'm
was his
talking.
Testimony?
I'm done talking.
No, what I was going to ask you before.
No, he ended up not testifying because he knew nothing.
Oh, okay. What I was going to ask you is.
But he did say, he goes, you know, everyone thinks that when these terrorists got on the plane, like, oh, how could people not know? He's like, you know, I have a really good memory for things. And, you know, he hasn't drank in years. And he's like, and I don't, everyone on that plane that I remember, like, just seemed like, you know,
just a normal person. No, here's what I was going to ask you. Two things. One is, did he have a ghostwriter at all, or did he, as far as you know, wrote the whole
thing? His mother was a writer.
Okay.
So he loved to write.
Yeah.
No, he wrote it all.
And then the other thing I was going to ask you is, was he in The American President? No. What was he in? No, not as a lead. What was he in that he had like a really raspy voice and he was talking like this? Did he talk about that? Like, what was up with his voice in that movie? Because he doesn't talk like that.
I don't know what movie you're talking about. You sure you're thinking Rob Lowe?
I'm positive. I'm positive.
It's not Nicolas Cage?
No. I'm positive. I know that sounded a little like Nicolas Cage, but I got a sinus infection, so I can't be responsible for my impersonations right now. But I'm just saying, there was some movie that he was in where he had like a southern accent, and his voice was like, oh, it was all like this. And I was like, what's up with Rob Lowe?
Was he black in it as well?
No, I said, while I have the sinus infection, I cannot be responsible
for it. And you are colorblind, so there's that as well.
Yeah, exactly. He could be purple for all I know. All right. I don't know anything about Rob
Lowe. He never mentioned his voice in
the horse voice
movie that no one knows.
No, I'll find it later. I will find it, and we'll talk about it
Why
then.
Don't you move on to your TV shows?
What?
But the Rob Lowe book, I'm saying, very entertaining. It's a nice light read.
Yeah.
I finished it in like three different legs of a plane trip.
Yeah. I gotcha. Long plane trip, though.
Yeah.
Why did your plane trip have legs? Oh, you mean because you had a stopover?
Well, because I also had layovers on each of the ways there and back.
Gotcha.
And then I also took a plane from Rome to Palermo and then a plane from Palermo back to Rome.
Oh, did you fly Alitalia?
I did.
Wasn't that one of the most terrifying experiences of your entire life?
Why?
Oh, my gosh. Well, because they like don't have the same, you know, they don't have the same standards as airlines in other countries. When we flew Alitalia between Milan and Florence, there were like seats that were broken and they're like, don't sit there and stuff like that. And
I have to say I had more leg room on that plane than I've ever had on another plane.
Really?
Although I've never flown first class.
I think you got, did you fly first class?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm sure if I flew first class, I would have more leg room than I had on that flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also had no one sitting in my aisle. So I had the whole.
Oh, you got very lucky.
Yeah.
Because most of those flights are like packed to the gills.
But of course that was my 40-minute flight. So
yeah. Right.
I only got to enjoy that for 40 minutes.
Bless you. So what was I going to talk about?
Your TV shows.
Oh, my TV shows. Okay, Stargate Universe.
Those little shows you like to watch.
Stargate Universe ended, series finale, unfortunately. They wrapped it up kind of nicely. They left it in sort of a, like, you know, what's going to happen kind of thing, which we will never know because it's gone. I did watch an episode of that show that you had talked about before, Episodes, with Matt LeBlanc.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. So it funny. Is. And you said there were only 6 episodes in the whole season?
Yep.
Wow. I don't know which one I saw. It was, I mean, now, I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. You now have Comcast.
Yes.
Do you have Showtime?
I don't think we have any premium channels right now.
Okay, because if you did, you could watch them on demand, because I'm sure they're still there.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll have to check, but I don't think we have any premium channels right now. But yeah, very funny.
I want to mention while we're talking about that, I have downloaded the, so you don't even have HBO.
I don't think so.
Okay. We have HBO at home, so I downloaded the HBO Go app on my iPad.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you can watch any HBO shows on your iPad? Now, can you do that on, like, a PC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
But it's cool on the iPad. I mean, you could look at old episodes of, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm,
so,
The Sopranos.
Here's what I want to know. How do they know that you subscribe to HBO?
I had to go in and put that I get my HBO through Comcast, or Xfinity, as it says there.
And then do you get, like, an email from Comcast with a code or something?
No, you just put in, because you have an email account with, when you sign, we have our internet through, I don't know how it would be for someone who just has cable from Comcast.
Yeah.
But we also have internet from Comcast, so we have Comcast email addresses,
right?
So I just put in my email address and my password, and then it knows that I'm a Comcast subscriber. I mean, obviously it checked something,
right? That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, the last Stargate Universe was great. It was very bittersweet. Episodes was funny. Chuck has been really good. I'm glad it's coming back for another season, although I understand it will be definitively its last season.
But and you know, isn't it much better to know, though, that it's the last season?
Yeah, definitely, because they can wrap things up nicely.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they can wrap things up and also leave it open for something
spin-offs
down the road.
Yeah.
The Morgan Show.
Spinsters.
Spinsters. Spinstresses.
And then Fringe, the season finale of Fringe was fantastic. You got to get into that show. I'm telling you, and I know other people have told you this, once you get into it, you will find
you
it is the most like Lost, more like Lost in terms of that feeling that you have.
Once it pops, you just can't stop.
Okay. We're still talking about television?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just checking. Great show, though, and great season finale. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
All right, ready for some miscellaneous?
Yeah.
Okay, we've
Bad because I feel like I should be talking about it, but it's one of those shows that if you haven't watched it yet, anything I say is going to ruin it.
Yeah. We've reported on some of the latest TV cancellations on our fan page.
Excuse me.
But here is a full list of almost all the shows not returning next year. I did leave out a couple shows. That
stuff that nobody cares
nothing
about.
Nothing to anyone, right.
Yeah.
Here they are. V, The Event, Chase. God, you're not going to do this for all these, are you?
No, I don't like
Brothers
some of these
and
shows.
Sisters. Lie to Me. Chicago Code. No, I'm a little upset about Chicago Code. I was getting into it. Human Target. No Ordinary Family.
Whatever.
Breaking In.
Ah.
Bleep My Dad Says. That's what they call it on TV.
They call it Bleep?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution.
What? Why didn't they cancel Marcel's Quantum Kitchen? They should have canceled that.
Better With You.
They should just cancel Marcel.
Yeah.
As a human.
Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior.
Did you see my
that
idea for a spinoff of that called Criminal Minds, Suspicious Dudes in Crappy Cars?
Yeah.
I think that's a good series right there.
Detroit 187.
Okay.
The Defenders.
Okay.
Medium.
Medium?
Yeah.
That was canceled last year.
Yeah, but it was on the list of things not returning next year.
Well, neither is MASH, but why?
No, that has had a season this year.
Okay.
Mr. Sunshine?
Yeah, I kind of like that show.
Yeah. You're pretty much the kiss of death for all these shows.
Yeah.
And Outsourced.
I watched an episode of that. It was terrible.
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 Absolutely.
Terrible. And it was like all racist.
Yeah.
It was like all racist really, jokes. It was awful.
It really was.
It was so awful.
Networks have released trailers for many of the new shows coming next season. Some of the more notable are the Charlie's Angels remake.
Now, you know what? I don't think I've seen anything on that. Does it look okay?
There's a trailer.
Does it look okay? I don't want to watch it right now. But...
We'll watch it later.
Okay.
J.J. Abrams' Alcatraz.
Which looks very cool.
Grimm, a police drama based on classic fairy tales.
I think that looked pretty cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does, actually. And Pan Am, the 60s set airline drama.
Now, I have not seen the trailer for that, but I'm intrigued just by the very nature of it.
It's very Mad Men-ish, but...
Yeah.
Christina Ricci.
Really?
Yeah.
Her head actually fits on an airplane. I'm sorry.
She has to check it. She can't put it in the overhead. the on-again, off-again Wonder Woman series that was to appear on NBC next year is now off again.
What?
No. They're not going through.
The one with the girl from is it all because...
With the hoibas and the...
What
was that? That was my Jerry Lewis.
Wait. You're talking about the David E. Kelly one? Why is it off?
Or David Chase... Wasn't David Chase? No, David E. Kelly. You're right.
Correct me on stuff you don't know what you're talking about.
I know that it won't be on.
Why is it off?
They've decided not that. Apparently, it wasn't good. They've decided not to go through with it.
That's awful.
Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane is developing a Flintstones reboot for Fox.
A TV show?
Yes.
Animated or live action?
It'll be the Flintstones, but he's doing it.
Huh.
I would hope that he stays true to
a lot of it. I'm not sure how I feel about that because his brand of humor is pretty.
But I think he would be respectful to the Flintstones.
I hope so because
I'm sure
that would really taint it for me if he.
No, I'm sure
if he gave it like the Family Guy treatment.
No, I don't think he would. But you know his stuff is clever and funny. I mean,
it is, but it's extremely politically incorrect.
Yeah, I don't think he would do that with the Flintstones.
Yeah, and
you know what? I don't think Hanna-Barbera would let him do that with.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, that could be cool. Is it going to be primetime?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat. Because, that's a formula that works.
And
you know?
He also has been given the option to do movies as well with the Flintstones.
Wow.
But he will be doing, it will be a sitcom.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi is planning a spinoff of Warehouse 13 featuring Jamie Murray's character, Helena Wells, who debuted in season 2.
And I got to say, I really enjoyed the first season of Warehouse 13. It was fun. It was goofy. It was campy. I like the carrot. Some
the
of the
carrots,
characters.
You like carrots.
I like the carrots. Don't
and
like
the potatoes.
Broccoli. I like some of the characters quite a bit, but come on, you need two Warehouse 13 shows. How about...
Especially since I
read
that
this
character...
How about just keep Stargate going? How about that?
This character is supposed to be the sister of H.G. Wells, but she had been frozen.
No, no, no.
That's what I read there?
No, that's not correct. She is H.G. Wells.
Oh.
It's that H.G. Wells is a woman.
Oh.
They never said... Since they never said what the H stood for, everyone assumed it was a man, but it was actually a woman. Because we saw those episodes.
Does no one have any records of anyone knowing the real
H.G.
Wells?
No, because she has access to, like, weird technology, and she... Erase people's brains or something.
I'm already out.
And she was not likable. She's a bad guy.
Well, she's getting her own show.
Ugh.
And finally, and I mean finally, the creators of Glee are planning to release Glee Live 3D, a film of the Glee concert tour in theaters this August.
There were two exclamation points in that title.
That's what's in the title.
Dear Lord.
And by the way, I have to say, I have still been watching Glee.
Yeah.
And it's gotten much better. This last... I didn't see yesterday's, but the prom episode from a week ago, very entertaining.
Haven't seen it really since the first episode of season two. Excuse me, sinus infection.
Sinus infection.
So that's it for TV?
That's it.
All right, we take a quick break now, and then we return later to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What did you see?
I have seen four movies.
Four movies.
Four.
Four.
Three of them on a plane.
Three of them on a plane.
One of them in a theater.
Get these mother bleeping movies off my mother bleeping plane.
Let's start with the one I didn't like. I saw The Dilemma with Vince Vaughn and Kevin James.
The dilemma was, how do I make this stop?
How do we get this plane off or back on the ground before this movie's... over.
Why don't you just turn it off?
You know what was great about the movie? It takes place in Chicago, and there's some great, like,
Chicago
scenes.
Stuff. Yeah.
Sometimes they overdo it with the Chicago, but it's hard for me to believe that this is a Ron Howard movie because it's really bad.
That is weird because he usually makes pretty decent films.
And this is the movie that made me realize.
Wait, though. Haven't his last couple of movies been, like, a little not so very good?
Let's see what the rest are.
Because I want to say that he's on a
downward spiral to hell.
Yeah, well, that's really beyond my pay grade. But I believe that I think I remember hearing that the last couple movies that he's made were not great. Well, didn't he do the sequel to the Tom Hanks religious movie, right? What am I thinking? The Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, Angels
Da Vinci
Demons,
Code, yeah.
Hold on. He's done a lot. I went from actor to producer. Here's director.
Talk in the microphone, please. Please speak in the microphone.
Yeah, Angels and Demons was the thing he did before that. He did Frost Nixon before it, which I loved.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be
that was great. Okay. Then he did Da Vinci Code, which was bad. Cinderella Man, I didn't see. The Missing, I didn't see. A Beautiful Mind was probably his best movie.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You didn't love that movie?
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was that good.
He's had some great movies. Well, I forgot he directed Cocoon.
Can I see that real quick?
Yeah. Let me put it where it's most recent.
Yeah.
But this movie's just bad. And Vince Vaughn, for me, I'm done. I'm done with Vince Vaughn.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he still tries to be that sarcastic, like, sharp-tongued, like, fast-talking, you know, funny guy, and now he's just old and fat and, like, you know, it was charming in Swingers, and now it's not. Now it's tired and boring.
Yeah.
And he's not likable, and his whole thing through the whole movie, you know, his dilemma is that he sees his best friend's wife with someone else.
Right.
And so he's trying to figure out what to do about it, and, like, everything he does is just, like, despicable. And actually, most of the other people in the movie are despicable. Jennifer Connelly, I feel bad for her that she's in this movie.
Yeah.
And supposed to be, you know, acting like she's in love with him.
Wait a minute. You think A Beautiful Mind was better than Apollo 13?
I never saw Apollo 13.
Oh, my gosh. Great film.
Yeah.
Great film. Absolutely fantastic movie.
But you can't take away that A Beautiful Mind is a fantastic movie.
No, it was a good movie. It was a good movie.
It's not a good movie. It's a great movie.
He directed Willow?
Yeah. That was like his first movie, wasn't it?
No. No. His first movie was... wait.
Oh, it was something about cars.
Short. No. Even before that. Well, he did a short film, which we won't count. Then he did a movie called Deed of Daring Do. Then Cards, Cads, Guns, Gore, and Death. Oh, that was a short film.
Then he did a movie called Grand Theft Auto.
That's it, Grand Theft Auto.
Cotton Candy, Skyward, Through the Magic Pyramid, Night Shift. He did Night Shift. That's a good movie. Little Shots, Splash. I did not like that movie.
What? Splash is great.
I did not like that movie. I don't like Daryl Hannah. She bugs the crap out of me. Cocoon was good. Gung Ho was just, okay.
I listened to a podcast. By the way, I'm discovering America by saying I just discovered this podcast, meaning that, you know, I'm late to it.
Okay.
But there's a podcast called The Nerdist. It's done by Chris Hardwick, who does. Yeah. And so he has a different comedian on every time. And it's really good. I recommend it. When you're done listening to our podcast, maybe listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
But he had Sarah Silverman on, and she was saying, oh, Cocoon is her dad's favorite movie because there's no bad guy in it.
That is kind of funny. But yeah, I think Apollo 13 is probably his best movie. That's a great film. You should see that sometime.
Okay.
That's a classic.
Yeah, I'd see that.
That's absolutely
Anyway, Dilemma, it's bad. You know who's good in it, though? And I think he's a good actor, and I think he's going to become one of our better actors of this generation, is Channing Tatum.
Shia LaBeouf?
No, Channing Tatum.
Was he in that?
G.I. Joe.
Really? You think he's going to be that good of an actor?
I thought he was really good in this. I'd seen him in a couple of things I thought he was good in.
He just seems like an eye candy kind of guy. You know, for the ladies. No,
I thought he was the funniest character in that movie.
I just don't remember him being that exceptional G.I. Joe.
Maybe just in this movie, because he's the funniest one, you know, set against all the other people who are terrible, maybe it made him look better than he really is.
Possibly.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Then I saw The King's Speech, finally, winner of the Academy Award for Best Picture last year.
Yeah.
Totally deserving. It was great. It was great.
You know, it's funny. I just talked to somebody else who just saw it the other day and said that he did not like it at all.
Really?
Thought it was boring and that didn't think Colin Firth was that good in it.
Who is this person?
I have not seen the movie, so I can't.
Favorite movie?
His favorite movie?
Yeah.
I think it was one of those Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't know what his favorite movie is.
It's one of those.
I don't know what his favorite movie is. I didn't ask him that.
No, it was great. I mean, it's shot great. It's the acting is impeccable. It's
I like Colin Firth,
the perfect movie. You would like it.
I would?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a feel-good. It's great. Yeah. But, I mean, you know what you're getting. I mean, there's no surprises in it. I mean, you know exactly what the whole movie is from the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Guy Pearce is great in it.
Yeah. Doesn't he kind of give you the heebie-jeebies a little bit?
Guy Pearce?
Yeah. He kind of gives me the willies.
No, I like how he's completely different in every movie.
I know, but he's a little creepy.
Well, he chooses the creepy roles, yeah.
Well, that's creepy.
But let me move on from King's Speech, which I think was the best movie of last year, to the movie I saw on the plane, Expecting Nothing, which turned out to be my favorite movie of last year.
Wow.
Barney's version.
Hiya, kids. I'm Barney.
Not the same Barney.
Oh.
This is with Paul Giamatti. In fact, he won the Golden Globe for Best Actor for this movie.
Okay.
In a comedy or musical. Which, it's weird that they call this a comedy. There are parts of it that are really funny. But it just kind of follows this guy's life. He's kind of like a loser.
Is he a schlub?
Perfect word.
Yeah.
He's a schlub, and it's just that's,
you want schlub, you want a good actor Paul in the Giamatti. Schlub, you go Paul Giamatti. Right.
And he is, you know, I never really liked him, but he is
you didn't like him in Sideways?
No.
I thought he was fantastic in that movie. I mean, his character was, you know, aggravating.
I didn't love that movie.
I didn't love it either. I actually found it a little difficult to watch in parts, but I appreciated it. I mean, I understood, you know, I appreciated it for what it was. Mm-hmm. I do think it was a great movie, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I do a lot of films.
I will agree.
Because I thought, first of all, the storyline between him and Virginia Madsen was very sad. And the storyline between him and Thomas Hayden Church was frustrating because it's like Thomas Hayden Church's character was a dirtbag, but at the same time, you could understand Paul Giamatti's character's situation because they're such good friends.
Right.
You know, and it was tough to watch from that standpoint. You know, it was tough to see Thomas Hayden Church getting everything and Paul Giamatti getting nothing.
Right.
And yet, look at the difference in their character. You know what I mean? So,
This character is not too much unlike his character in Sideways, but it's just about this guy. He's kind of like a con man. No, he is a comment, kind of, but and it's just about his relationship with women, and it kind of goes through his life and then how he meets his true love, and it goes on from there. I don't want to ruin it.
Is true love played by Virginia Madsen?
No, it's actually played by, what is her name? She is fantastic in it. And then I looked to see
Vera Farmiga.
I knew I had seen her in something else, and she was in An Education. She's a British actress, although she's not British in the movie.
It wasn't Vera Farmiga.
It was not Vera Farmiga. But you know who plays his second wife, and she's really funny in it?
Vera Farmiga.
Todd's friend, Minnie Driver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like the Minnie Driver.
And you know who plays his father, who's great in this movie, is Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
One of the best things Dustin Hoffman's done in
Dustin
years.
Dustin Hoffman playing Paul Giamatti's dad?
Yeah.
Is there enough of an age difference there where that could be possible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I would say Paul Giamatti's probably our age, and Dustin Hoffman's got to be in his late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Rosamund Pike is her
name. Oh, sure, Rosamund Pike.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, absolutely. Bond girl.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she plays the woman he falls in love with. But then it takes this twist at the end that's really sad, and like I just loved it. Like, you know, it's one of those movies I did not know what to expect. I knew that it had gotten good reviews, so I watched it.
I believe she was also in at least one of the Star Wars prequels.
Come on.
Pretty sure.
Come on.
Pretty sure.
You're talking nonsense.
No, I'm pretty sure she was in one of the Star Wars prequels. Look it up. Are you looking it up?
I am. She was in Surrogates.
Yeah.
She was in Doom.
Really? I don't remember her from that. That was not a good movie.
She was not in one of the...
I'm telling you.
Star Wars. It's not in her filmography.
Something wrong with that IMDb. Missing data.
Yeah. They should consult you.
They should.
They're not sure.
They should.
And then in the theater just the other day, I saw the hit comedy Bridesmaids.
Yes.
Hysterical. Funniest movie I've seen in, I'd say, a few years.
Wow.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig finally has...
Tell our audience what you told me.
It's Kristen Wiig at her wiggiest. No, really. Finally, she has a movie where they just let her be
her.
Her.
Her crazy goodness.
Yeah, and it's hysterical. And also, the girl from that Mike and Molly show,
don't
she kind of steals the show.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
It's that, remember the show? It's a sitcom about two like overweight.
Oh,
like he's
right,
a cop,
right.
And then they meet and they fall in love. But all the jokes are like
the Honeymooners.
Yeah. But they're all the jokes are about being fat and offensive. Yeah. But she's really funny. It's just funny.
Yeah.
But it has, unlike everyone's comparing it to The Hangover, saying it's like the female version of The Hangover.
Okay.
But the difference between the two, and by the way, I've seen The Hangover again, and I don't hate it now as much as I did before.
I still haven't seen it.
I don't think it's as funny as everyone thinks it is, but I think I was maybe a little too hard on it, but it was just because people were making a huge deal out of it. But the difference between, what are you doing?
Nothing.
The difference between this and The Hangover, I mean, because this has some raunch in it, too. In fact, there's one, you know, I'm not big on bathroom humor.
Yeah.
There's one scene that, like, goes a little too far. But this also has heart in it, whereas The Hangover had none.
Yeah.
I mean, The Hangover was just, like, offensive.
Right.
This has some, you know, tender moments. Sure. But, you know, the reason for that is it's produced by Judd Apatow, and he always kind of does that.
Yeah, he does. He always redeems his, you know, lovable losers.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No,
that's,
you're right.
You know, that's what he does. That's what he does.
You hit it on the nose. So I highly recommend all those except for The Dilemma. It sucked. Barney's version comes out on DVD June 28th.
Alrighty then. I have not seen a movie in the theater. We've been sick. We moved. A lot going on. But we did
bloody
watch.
Bloody blue.
We did watch a movie on the old DirecTV just 1 week prior to its cancellation from our household environment.
Do you want to vent about that? I've seen you venting on your Facebook page about it.
No, I wasn't. You know, the only reason I, you know, we decided that when we moved, we were going to get Comcast instead of taking DirecTV with us. Right. For one thing, you know, the one of the big problems with satellite has always been that you can't daisy chain it. So when you bring the dish into the attic or wherever it's going into, you have to go from, you go from the dish to this thing called a multi-switch, and then you have to go from there to each TV location. So you can't go from there to the closest one, then to the next one, then to the next one. You have to go from there to each one separately.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and if you want
to... How come no one's, like, fixed that?
Well, they claim that they're working on it, but they haven't done it yet. And so then the other thing is if you... and they do have whole house VCR or DVR now, too, with DirecTV. I haven't used it, so I don't know if it's any good or whatever. But anyway, so... And then if you want two tuners, you have to run two cables to each location.
from the multi-switch. So it's a pain as far as installation goes. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Another thing is that they don't have A&E in HD, as you know, because I couldn't watch Walking Dead in, right, Walking Dead?
Yeah, yeah. But that's AMC.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I meant then, AMC. Okay. And
A&E is the Arts and Entertainment Network, although now nothing on the network is arts or entertainment.
I don't know. Storage Wars is pretty damn entertaining.
There's that.
That's a good show. Have we talked about that on here before? Okay. I can't remember if that was whenever. But anyway, you know, it's some other things, and the on-demand and DirecTV is not really that great. And they're like 2 years late coming out with their new HD TiVo boxes. Still not available.
Right.
So whatever, we just decided we're going to get Comcast. You know, it was between Comcast and UVerse. UVerse wasn't available, so there you go, Comcast. So I called DirecTV yesterday because we moved, and so I wanted to cancel our service. And the guy says to me, he goes, well, is there anything I can do? I said, well, we already moved and we've already got a contract with Comcast. He's like, okay. He's like, can I ask what it was? I said, well, you know, there's some channels that you don't have in HD, which are, it's kind of annoying. Like, actually, the one I used as an example was BBC.
Right.
And I said, and you know, I'm really just frustrated with your DVR. It's, you know, it's really slow. He goes, well, I can see by looking at your account that you do have two of our old TiVo boxes from a long time ago. So I could understand why they'd be slow. And I said, actually, those old TiVo boxes are the good ones. Even though they're not HD, those are really fast and very responsive. It's the new HD one of yours with the DirecTV DVR that stinks. And he goes, well, I'll tell you one thing right now. Coming from TiVo and then going to the DirecTV DVR, I would never want to go back to TiVo. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you really just say that right now? So that was really annoying, but whatever. I'm done with them. I'm done.
So what about The Green Hornet?
The Green Hornet, not a good movie.
Yeah.
But actually very funny.
And there Seth Rogen's not annoying in it? Because, you know, I like Seth Rogen, but he can be
and
annoying.
And I don't like Seth Rogen, but I actually enjoyed his performance in this because there were a lot of funny lines and funny moments between him and Kato. And I have to say the bad guy was actually pretty entertaining too.
This was also one of my options on the plane, but I opted against.
Yeah. It's, you know, if there's like nothing else going on, it's worth seeing. There's some fun stuff in it, but it's not a great
movie. All the other channels are snow.
Right. If you got a lot of static.
Right.
And then 24 hours of Green Hornet in HD, I'd go Green Hornet.
Which, by the way, you know what I'm going to catch this week? Kick-Ass just came on instant streaming on Netflix.
Now, you have not seen that yet?
I have not seen it, but I hear that it is very good. You have told me that.
It's very entertaining. Yeah. A little disturbing, but very entertaining.
Yeah. You ready for some miscellaneous?
Oh, sure.
Okay. The other guy's stars, Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, will reunite for the football comedy Turkey Bowl.
Turkey Bowl. Now, see, that's a football movie that I would actually go see.
Yeah.
Because it's probably not really about football.
Well, it's about two guys who are football fans, and they meet every year and have this big... Apparently, there's going to be a lot of, like, crazy cameos in it, and they have this big, like, Turkey Bowl, like,
sure.
competition.
Giant bowl stuffed to the gills with turkey.
Right.
Turkey meat.
And giblets.
And skins that have been fried to a crispy golden goodness.
Will Ferrell has also spoken about a possible Step Brothers sequel.
I still have not seen the original.
You know what?
I heard it was pretty good.
Very funny moments.
I heard it
movie.
Was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg will team up with
Which
Justin
one?
Bieber.
Marky Mark or the host
Marky
of the,
Mark.
Okay.
Will team up with Justin Bieber in a film about street basketball.
I am so confused by what you just said.
basically,
are either one of them over 5 feet tall? Why would they be playing street basketball? What street? Sesame Street?
I don't know. There's so much wrong with the whole sentence.
Like, that's what I mean. I don't even understand what you said.
It is the way it is. Michelle Williams has signed on to play Glenda the Good Witch in Sam Raimi's Wizard of Oz sequel, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Now, you know what? If you had said Vanessa Williams, I'd be in. Michelle Williams, you know, I could take it or leave it.
Other stars already signed on, Mila Kunis.
Oh, I like that.
James Franco and Rachel Weisz.
Whatever happened to her? She seemed to
She's
be like up and
be in the new.
I know,
of Oz
I know,
sequel.
But she seemed to be like sort of up and coming for a while, and then she just took a nosedive.
She won an Oscar like 2 years ago.
For what?
That movie she won an Oscar for.
I don't. You just made
it
that
was
up.
Some. No, she did.
Did she really? Okay. You don't remember? I don't care.
I don't. Well, you just asked me what it was.
No,
I didn't care either. It was some small movie that no
care.
One saw, but apparently she was great in.
Except the people who count, evidently.
We had previously reported on a Peter Pan film in the works where Peter Pan and Captain Hook are brothers, featuring Channing Tatum.
Oh, your favorite.
No, I just said he was good in that movie. Well, another yet darker Peter Pan film is also in development, starring Aaron Eckhart. It will be a gritty police drama featuring the characters from the J.M. Barrie classic.
What?
So Aaron Eckhart is playing... It's a gritty police drama, but all the characters in it are from Peter Pan. So Aaron Eckhart's actually playing the criminal who is Captain Hook, and Peter Pan will be a cop, and Wendy will be like, it's really weird.
Pepper from Police Woman. I don't understand. Is it like really an alternate reality thing, or is it just like telling the story
telling
of Peter
the
Pan,
story, but as a police,
okay,
gritty police drama.
Okay.
You got that?
I got it.
Jeremy Renner is in talks to play Steve McQueen in an upcoming biopic.
I don't even know who that is.
He was in The Hurt Locker.
Didn't see it.
You should. It's good.
It sounds like it would hurt. I'm not up for that.
A reboot of the classic film hero Zorro is in the works. Okay. This version will take place in a futuristic post-apocalyptic world.
Wow, that sounds original. What? There's nothing wrong with the old Zorro. You got Anthony Hopkins, right? Hopkins, Perkins, I always get those two mistake.
Hopkins. No. Perkins is dead.
Okay.
Hopkins is
dead.
So
probably Hopkins. You got, what's his name?
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. You and you got Catherine Zeta-Jones. Uh-huh. You can't top that. Post-apocalyptic
they're
or not.
They're going to try here.
Okay.
Here's some positive news about Arnold Schwarzenegger. It has been confirmed that the former governor and adulterer will appear in the next Terminator film.
Yes. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. There is hope. Now, can we talk about this Arnold Schwarzenegger thing
Should
for a
we?
Minute? I haven't listened to the news in 2 weeks.
Apparently, it has just come out that he has a 10-year-old child with someone that he had worked for them in their house.
And also, somebody claims that there's also like a 16-year-old child that's his.
That I haven't heard about.
Well, that was the first one that was reported on in a London newspaper in 2003. That this woman, this was right before I think he was elected.
Okay.
I think that's the story. And then now the kid is like in high school. So what they were saying was it makes this worse because this is actually a second kid.
Right. Is it from the same woman?
I don't think so. No, two different people. So a serial adulterer, perhaps.
Yeah, right in his own home.
There really any surprise by anyone on this? Is anyone surprised by this?
No. No.
But anyway. I'm just glad he's going to be in another Terminator movie. You know, I'm one of these people that with very few exceptions, Mel Gibson being one of them.
Right.
I have a total separation of real life.
I will agree, because you know what? As much as I think he is a criminal and a heinous person, I like Roman Polanski movies.
I don't know if I do.
The Pianist, I think, is one of the best movies of all time.
Excuse me?
Saturday Night Live star Bill Hader will play Andy Warhol in Men in Black 3.
Again, okay.
So much wrong with that sentence.
Yes. Men in Black 3 would be the first
thing.
Until
I get
thing.
To the next sentence. Piranha 3D will have a sequel. Piranha 3DD.
Excellent.
Already slated to star are David Hasselhoff and Gary Busey.
Excellent. I can't wait to see who they cast.
You saw Piranha 3D, right?
Who they cast in the role of the many DDs that I'm sure will be in that film.
Oh, maybe it is Piranha 3DD.
Yeah, I think it is 3DD. That would make sense given the last movie.
That's very funny.
You know what? I'm telling you, it is... especially in 3D, absolutely worth seeing. It's hilarious. I mean, it's stupid, but it's right. Hilarious. And like what the things that they came up with for how people got killed, just like ridiculously.
Like along the lines of like Final Destination?
Ridiculously brilliant. Even more so because it's just so over the top crazy.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah.
And this is cute. Finally, according to a recent study, The Godfather tops the list of films that people pretend to have seen.
Really? Yeah. Do you know what some of the other ones were? That is really
that
funny.
Listed. That's funny, though.
So, like, people say, oh, yeah, I've seen The Godfather.
Oh, I love The Godfather. I've never seen it.
I love that scene where he first picks up the godson, and he's like, oh, baby, I'm your godfather. I'm so glad that your mother chose me, son, father, and whatever, godson, guy. I'll be there for you if your daddy gets hit by a bus.
That's all I have.
That's all you got? All right, we're going to take a quick break then, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
But before we do that, we do have the list of the movies, the top 10 movies that people lie about having seen. Like you said, number one, The Godfather. Number two, Casablanca. Number three, Taxi Driver. Number four, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Number five, Reservoir Dogs. Number six, This is Spinal Tap.
Number 7, Apocalypse Now. Number 8 was Goodfellas. Number 9 was Blade Runner. And number 10 is The Great Escape. Here's what I'd be more interested in seeing. A list of the top 10 movies you wish you had only pretended to see. Because it'd be interesting to see what's on that list. I'm just saying. Anyway. Okay. So we're going to start off with a biggie here. Mac malware is on the rise with a phony anti-malware scam tricking many a Mac user, just like similar malware operates on Windows. An AppleCare support rep talked with, under condition of anonymity, of course, talked with EdBot over at ZDNet. And he confirmed that over the last week, calls to his call center have gone up 500%, and almost all of that increase is due to the bogus Mac Defender scam that's been in the wild lately. This one rep took 60 calls in 2 days. This just one rep took 60 calls in 2 days related to this issue. He said over 50% of all their calls now have to do with this. And get this. Apple's official stance on the matter, according to the rep, AppleCare support reps are not supposed to help customers remove malware from their computers. So the reason for this is that even though Mac Defender is easy to remove, people should not have the expectation that AppleCare can always help them remove malware like that, and that that's what antivirus software is for. This again is according to an AppleCare rep. He also said that most of the reps do in fact help customers, even though the official policy is not to, and like their floor managers are kind of okay with that unless they get busted, because then they get written up. But the problem is, if they don't help the customers and the customers complain, they get their pay lowered.
Wow.
Yeah. How terrible is that? And he said it's not getting better, it's getting worse, the whole situation with the Mac malware. So, I mean, this is what everybody's been saying, that the reason that Apple hasn't really been targeted is because their market share was so low, but that as it starts to go up, they're going to be the victim of more and more of this stuff, right. And this is proof that that is in fact true. Okay, so that aside, there's a rumor that is probably much more than a rumor that Amazon has two tablet computers in development that'll supposedly blow the doors off of anything else on the market. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
It is a little extreme. What are you doing over there? You seem very preoccupied. What are you looking at?
Just looking.
What were you looking at?
I got a text.
Okay. You want to share?
No.
Okay. Nevada could be the first state to allow self-driving cars if Google has its way. They've logged about 140,000 miles in testing environments in California in automated Toyota Prius and Audi TT cars over the recent past, with 1,000 miles being completely automated. And they want Nevada to allow them to be used on real roads for reals by real people.
Wow.
That would be kind of cool, but also kind of scary. Yeah. Here's the thing, is if it was on a road specifically for only automated vehicles, I would be okay with that. But when you mix automated vehicles, which are smart, with boneheads, which are, generally speaking, pretty dumb, then you got problems, I think. The U.S. has just released its international strategy for cyberspace. And one of the interesting things in it is this phrase. When warranted, the United States will respond to hostile acts in cyberspace as we would any other threat to our country. In other words, mess with us online and we'll send a SEAL team and silent helicopters to mess with you in the real world. Or we'll just bomb the crap out of you. The iPhone 4 may have its Retina display with 326 pixels per inch and all, but a company called Ortus Technology has packed a full 1920 by 1080 image into a 4.8-inch screen, which comes out to about 458 PPI. In fact, manufacturers seem to be scrambling to outdo each other in the PPI race in the last few weeks, with some unveiling displays that go quite a bit beyond 1920 by 1080. But I don't understand why anyone would do that.
Right.
Like if you're, one of them was a Toshiba tablet computer that was going to have this resolution of like, you know, 2630 by 14 something. It's like, why would you do that? The most resolution that you're going to need on something like that is to watch an HD movie.
Right.
So if you make the display higher res than that, you're going to have to stretch the movie to fill the screen and then it's going to look bad anyway. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Have you ever seen all those vaguely creepy looking snacks on the counter at the gas station that you've never really heard of and wondered if they're any good? Have you ever seen one called Lazy Cakes Relaxation Brownies? Let me say this again. Lazy Cakes Relaxation Brownies. Each brownie has almost enough melatonin in it to make an adult fall asleep. Two of them will knock most people out cold.
And they sell this at a gas station.
And it's sold not as food, but as a dietary supplement so that it can't be regulated.
Wow.
And literally, if you ate two of these brownies, you would be out cold.
Where do I get these?
Gas stations.
Yeah. right next to the 5-hour energy drink.
Exactly.
I'm gonna let the two battle it out.
Yeah. What? I mean, would you just explode? I mean, what happens if you take both of
Heart
them?
Heart attack, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Dell's ridiculously expensive Adamo laptop, which was its answer to the MacBook Air, has been discontinued, but they've got a new machine in the works that'll take its place. The product has no name yet, but it's supposedly going to be 15.6-inch screen, have either Core i5 or Core i7 processors, a high-res display, and of course it'll be very thin, and best of all, it'll be right around $1,000 instead of the $2,000 to $3,000 that the Adamo cost. That's pretty cool, because the MacBook Air is tiny, and it's expensive.
Yep.
Speaking of thin laptops, Lenovo's ThinkPad X1 is not super slim at 0.67 inches, but it is in fact the thinnest laptop you can buy with a Core i7 processor at this time. It's got a Gorilla Glass screen and starts at about $1,400. It's not too bad. A company called Sheiks, have you heard of this? This
yes.
is ridiculous. Oh, you have?
Yes.
Oh. A company called Sheiks has just come out with some new sheets, also called Sheiks, that are made from the same type of material as performance wear, like those made by Nike and Under Armour for people running and doing other sorts of workout activities, except they're made to be comfy in bed for when you're, you know, performing in bed, if you know what I'm saying. And I think you do. A leaked iPhone 5, probably going to be called the iPhone 4S case, shows an edge-to-edge screen and different camera location. But supposedly, what did I hear? Oh, was it you, Brendan, who said that you think it's going to have the same dual-core processor that's in the iPad 2?
Yeah. I've heard that also.
Yeah. And I have to say, the iPad 2 is pretty zippy.
I don't notice any difference between the iPad 2 and the iPad 1.
Really?
I'm sure it's different, but...
I mean, not having had an iPad 1, I can't compare them, but it seems pretty zippy to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of other Apple stuff, they've just proposed a new standard for SIM cards that's even smaller than the micro SIM they use in the iPhone 4 and iPad. You know, they don't use a regular SIM card. There's a smaller. Right. And now they want an even smaller one.
Right.
I guess they need more room for... extra stuff to charge you for that doesn't really exist.
Widgets.
Yeah, they got more. You know how much room widgets take up?
A lot.
A lot of space. Okay, this is hilarious. The city of New York is deploying a bunch of new LED signs that measure driver speed and show a familiar, like, crosswalk style sideways guy, you know, like the picture of the guy walking with the text speed limit 30 or whatever the speed limit is. But if you go over the speed limit, the guy turns into a skeleton and the text changes to slow down. It just shows like that, like the skeleton guy. It's just hilarious. It's so funny. Samsung is now starting to make LED light bulbs, which is good news since usually when they do something like that, prices from other manufacturers tend to drop. As many of you know, starting next year, 100 watt incandescent bulbs will be illegal in this country. You get that, folks? The government is making light bulbs illegal.
It's fine.
No, it's not fine. It's to not be replaced fine. By lower wattage bulbs that are either CFL or preferably LED. Such LED bulbs could cost as much as $50 per bulb, but wow. They'll also last 10 to 20 years, so that's something. This is actually kind of cool. The XPRIZE Foundation is offering $10 million to anybody who can invent a real working medical tricorder like that used on Star Trek. The goal is to bring much better medical diagnosis and treatment to developing nations that currently have substandard medical facilities and not enough doctors.
Well, why aren't we working on this?
You and I, personally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know anything about medical tricorders?
Not a thing.
Have you ever seen an episode of Star Trek?
No.
I didn't think so. There's your answer. A woman named Annie...
But I would like $10 million.
Okay. You're going to figure out some way to get it, given the rules. A woman named Annie Jacobson says that she has proof that Roswell was not a UFO crash, but the crash of a Soviet-made saucer-type vehicle. Now, I will say that it is generally known that the Soviets were trying to build something like a flying saucer. But nobody really knows exactly what happened, you know, to that project. The crash of a Soviet-made saucer-type vehicle complete with 13-year-old kids who had been genetically modified to look like aliens.
Yes.
This was all an elaborate Soviet plan, according to Jacobson, that was designed to induce panic in the U.S. enough that our air defense, which was very nascent at the time, would be vulnerable to Soviet attack. Jacobson continues that the reason it was covered up was because once our government realized what the Soviets had done with the genetic modification of the kids, we decided to pursue our own program to do the same kind of thing, and they didn't want people thinking that they were the creepy bastards that they obviously would have been to do something like that. But to be honest, this story is so crazy that aliens crashing sounds more believable to me. And I'm not just saying that because I believe in that. Anyway, finally, Lior and Vardit Adler, a couple in Israel, have just had their third baby, a cute little girl, and they've named her Like, after the Facebook Like button.
Great.
Yes.
Where are they from? Israel.
Israel, yeah. Little town outside of Tel Aviv.
Are you sure it's Like and Like?
No, they actually said they named her after the Facebook Like button because it's so iconic for our time.
Yes.
Dear Israeli government, please take their children. Thank you, the management. Which brings us, as always, the point in the program where we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week, or in this case, the last 3 weeks. Tony, as always, please do your best to give us your worst.
Actually, when I came back from Italy, I had a couple games waiting for me from Gamefly because I sent my previous games right before I left. And I was a little excited, even though it's gotten bad reviews. I saw some of the gameplay and videos of Tron Evolution.
Okay. And that's a new game?
It came out when the movie came out. Tron Legacy came out.
Not even heard of that.
It's Tron Evolution, the game.
Thank you. You just said that.
It is the worst game ever. And that's why it got like a 4.5 on IGN.
Out of 100.
You know what? Actually, I like the look of it. And like the story was kind of cool where it was going. But like, the controls are terrible. And it's just the same thing over and over. It's just like, oh, and combos.
Oh,
lots
really?
Lots of combos. I don't like combos.
Did you ever play that Tron 2.0 that was out a few years ago?
No.
That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a first-person shooter or third-person or something. I don't remember. But it was pretty cool.
I remember it looking kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. It looked very cool.
This was not so cool.
No, not so
much. I mean, actually, if they had just fixed the mechanics and given it... I never even got to the light cycle section, so I don't even know what that was like.
Yeah.
But if they had just like made it more fun... I mean,
I always find that fun is a good element to include in a video game.
Something you want.
Yeah. Always disappointed when it's not there.
Sometimes they don't think to put that in.
They forget that that should be there.
They forget about the fun.
Yeah. You know, my worst moment is also a video game moment. I'm going to have to go with that Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. I know I didn't give it that much of a chance.
Right.
But for something that looks like it has so much promise,
right,
it was really kind of boring.
You even brought it up.
I did previously.
Previously.
Yeah. A little preview.
Thinking it looked cool.
Oh.
And now...
Yeah.
Now you look.
Now
like
what
a,
do I think?
Now you look like a hypocrite.
I was thinking it looked cool. Now I'm thinking I look like a fool.
Are we on to best?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I have a lot to choose from, but you know what? I'm gonna say, it's so hard. I have three, but I'm just gonna go with one. I'm gonna say Barney's version.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what to expect, and I loved it, and it was laugh out loud funny in parts, and then there were very touching parts, and the ending was very like. I mean, it stays with you.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to ruin the ending. And I like those times when you don't expect anything and then it grabs hold of you and shakes you.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
But I will say my other two would have been Bridesmaids because it's the most I've laughed in the theater in years. And Portal 2, of course.
What about that time we went to the movies and that the guy who worked at the theater kept tickling you? You were laughing pretty hard then.
Yeah, until I realized it wasn't the guy I thought it was.
Oh, and, yeah, that's bad. Yeah. That's bad news. For my best, I also had a few to pick from. I'm going to have to go with the season finale of Fringe.
Ah.
Because it was really excellent. My other two would have been finishing Portal 2.
Mm-hmm.
And and the way that they wrapped up SGU. In spite of the fact that it could easily be my worst that it's not coming back. But
right.
That's old news now. Yeah. So
I know. You've been putting it all over the fan page.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing my part. You know what? Yeah. Sci-fi needs to know that we're not happy with this decision.
Well, you're getting your new H.G. Wells show.
I don't want that show. I'm not going to be watching that show. Sorry. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks as always for listening. Welcome back again, Tony.
Thank you.
And thanks for,
you know,
sticking
with us.
We'll
try to be a little more regular from now on.
Yes. Eating lots of vegetables. And keep those cards and letters coming. We'd love to receive your cards and letters. Right?
Yes,
we
love it.
Do we get cards?
No.
Mostly letters.
E-cards, e-letters.
We like cards, though. Send cards. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye.